Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Roll One. I'm your host and usually game master, Jake Lucas. If this is your first time, I recommend you go back and start at episode one. If you're returning, welcome back. As mentioned at the start of the last episode, we ran out of recorded material and couldn't get the whole cast together to play without missing at least 2 weeks of episodes. So we decided to do a side story so as not to interfere with our release schedule. For the next three episodes, Tom, who normally plays Levo 3, offered to take the reins as Game Master, while I get to be a player controlling our Imperial Inquisitor. That's right, we get to see things from the Imperial perspective, picking up right after the riots on the planet Morja. We're also joined by Liam O'Reilly, a fellow improviser and super fan of Roll One, which I am beyond thrilled we even have. I had a ton of fun with the session, and I hope you do too. Two quick notes before we begin. First is we're idiots and had our omnidirectional mic angled just out of range of Tom for the first half of our recording session, so he's a little quiet. I tried to amplify his lines as best I could, and on top of that, even though I sat as far away from the mic as I could, the Inquisitor is loud, and I apologize ahead of time if the levels between the two of us aren't balanced well. Second note, I started a temp job that'll last the next month or two. I don't intend on it affecting the release schedule, but I just wanted to make you aware of it on the off chance it does end up interfering. All right. That's enough of me talking. So, with that out of the way, let's get right down to you hearing me talk some more. Let's just start the show.
Gone is the Old Republic, and with its guardians, the Jedi Knights. After being nearly wiped out by the machinations of the Sith Lord Darth Sidious, the few surviving Jedi were forced into hiding. It is the job of the Inquisitorius to hunt the remaining Jedi and make sure that their light never again reemerges. One Inquisitor, the Ninth Brother, has been one step behind a young man with the potential to become a Jedi, and has just arrived on the planet Morja, his last known whereabouts.
So, welcome everyone to another episode of Roll One. I'm Tom Wilson. I normally play Levo, Levo 3, but today I'm running a game, which will be very different. So today we have Jake, normally Game Masters.
Normally Game Master. Today I'll be playing the Ninth Brother, whom you know as the Inquisitor who's hunting Bosch.
Uh-huh.
Gonna edit that one out.
Nope.
That stays.
I've heard your edits. You don't edit anything. you do. And we also have our special guest, Liam O'Reilly.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Liam O'Reilly. I'm going to be playing Special Forces Stormtrooper Chuck Finley.
Yep. So this will be different, like I said.
It's going to be different, folks. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be very fun.
Maybe. Different. We don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
A lot of stories, especially in the Star Wars universe, follow people of importance and points of destiny out in the galaxy who face improbable odds and hard philosophical choices at times. Some would call them heroes. And this is not that story, or not even close to one of them. It begins at the end of a riot. And the camera slowly pans down onto a planet. Oh yeah, we have to do... Well, as it does, we should roll the Force of Destiny die, I guess! Yeah. Which we didn't do. Which I did ever done.
You got really... It was
sport.
So good.
I got way
I'm
into
so
it. It's
sorry.
Okay. But that's where we're beginning. And
so
we're
each get
Force
one.
Of Destiny.
So. Yeah. And so...
Mm-hmm. This is Jake rolling his.
Okay, here we go. One dark side point from the Inquisitor.
Okay.
Dark side point?
We'll do one from...
And one from... One dark side point from Chuck. And then two light side points from the Game Master.
From me. And so, for everyone who's listening... who has been listening and knows how force and force points or force... Yeah, force points work.
Destiny points.
Destiny points, sure. Normally, the players get light side points to use. And for clear reasons, we are flipping that on its head. And the players will be using dark side points. And I will be using light side points. And so now that we have established that, we are on the prison planet. On the planet Morja, where the Inquisitor is currently speaking to a few officers. Maybe a Moff is there as well. And all of them look... terrified. You're in the surrounding rubble of one of the walls that looks like it was blasted open of people escaping the prison.
So the Inquisitor, he's tall. He's definitely taller than everyone there. Easily, I think we established he's 6'7". Huge dude.
Very imposing.
Yeah, and he's broad too. He's got like a thin waist, and he's definitely just like this sort of hunched wolfman shape. So he's glowering over everyone. He's wearing sort of black armor with like black shoulder pads and like a grace like imperial suit over it. Classic Inquisitor outfit. We all know classic Inquisitor fashion.
Everyone.
lightsaber on his back, and he's looking down on everyone. What do you mean? You let 4 individuals in here, inside the prison. One of them, a child, 16 years old by human standards.
The one who looks like the leader of this small cadre of officers is... Inquisitor, so we had no idea they were inside the facility and they caused so much destruction and caused a riot.
As he's saying that, I'm just sort of like looking down at him, just like leaning in slowly closer and closer as he talks.
What's the equivalent of intimidating?
Coercion?
Coercion. Yeah, roll coercion.
Cool. It's gonna be 3 of these. What's his discipline?
Yeah, his discipline, which is...
I also have the ability terrifying, so I think he has to make a discipline save.
Yeah,
just being around me.
It's true. So what would be the difficulty on terrifying?
I think that's 3 purple.
Okay.
And that's... I'm not even rolling coercion.
Yeah. So let me see. 3 purple. He is... 1. He's a moff.
I mean, I don't... If he's a moff, I probably wouldn't be giving him shit.
Nah.
Yeah.
All right. For everyone, I'm a little generous with my NPCs. Mm. Jake is not...
he
fails.
With a 2 threats.
He is visibly shaking and actually like breaks the gaze and looks away and looks down.
Do we want him to be Captain Orchester or the Commandant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this could be Captain Orchester. That would make sense. And he looks down and says, I'm sorry, Inquisitor. Whatever I can do to make up for this.
You can make up for this by finding everything you can about that boy and his companions. He seems to be working with them now.
Very well. They're very loud. We can find what we can. I'll get on that at once, sir.
And I look around and I survey the area. Is the riot still going on?
No, the riot has been suppressed by now. You arrived at the tail end of it.
Cool. Have I had a chance to, like, take part in the suppressing of the riot?
Sure.
Cool. So I've worked off some steam.
Yeah. You showed up and there were a few inmates still in the yard. Who, some of them were foolish enough to try and get on your ship as it landed. And, you took care of them pretty handily. the rest of them immediately scatter. As Captain Kern begins yelling at them, trying to instill fear after being, kowtowed by the Inquisitor. Yeah, now you are seemingly alone. There's a lot of stormtroopers milling about, different companies walking around.
I'm looking around, and I decide to make my way to the security center of the facility, which I imagine was in that giant spire.
Yes.
In the center of the Pentagon. Okay. And I, if no one's bothering me or stopping me, I just brush past everyone, make my way to the lift, go on the way up, and then walk out into the security council.
A shot of you going through several doors, just imposingly walking by people and people moving out of your way and looking up at you and realizing who you are and hiding their faces. And then the lift doors open and you see 2 soldiers standing in front of you.
So Charles Finley is, he's in the tooth a bit. He's getting closer towards retirement. He's closer to retirement than he is enlistment. but, you know, he's still got an edge about him and everything. You know, he's a glorious chin, this one. He's got, like, a very strong chin. You know, it's admirable.
Nice. Is it like a Bruce Campbell chin?
Oh, yeah. It's very much like a Bruce Campbell chin.
Nice.
Just, like, picture... picture Bruce Campbell. When you think Chuck Finley, think Bruce Campbell.
Done.
And he snaps off a quick salute to the Inquisitor.
The other one is in full heavy trooper regalia. Cool. And salutes as well.
I step into the lift, I don't even acknowledge a salute, and I stand in front of them in the lift, like, facing the door. And I hit the button and I wait for the door to close to go up. And then, while it's going up, after a brief pause, I say...
I'm outside of the normal military hierarchy. You shouldn't have saluted me.
Listen, I'm sorry, sir. You know, I just... you're really, you know, you look like such an authority figure. Better safe than
if
safe.
If I wanted to hear babbling, I'd spend some quality time with one of the prisoners here. It's always so easy to get them to talk, I'd expect better of an Imperial officer.
Yes, sir, of course. Real sorry about that.
The other figure, who is, doesn't seem like the talker, but says, well, Inquisitor, we have something for you.
And what is that?
She hands you a data pad.
Take the data pad and I look at it.
It has an encrypted message on it, thumb on it and open, and it is from Vader. And it's just text, it's a dossier, and it explains that there is a possible Jedi remnant on the planet Fondor that is hiding there. And you see an image, and it is a Twi'lek. Very familiar one.
So we get a close-up shot of my eyes, and they narrow as I look down on it. And I look back at the, like, just sort of side-eye at the two people behind me. And I look up to see what elevator floor we're on, and I hit the button for, like, that floor.
Okay.
So the second we get to that floor, I'm like, this is your stop!
Actually, sir, we've been ordered to accompany you by Lord Vader himself.
I just growls.
Fine. Accompany me by taking the stairs.
As you wish, sir.
Yes, sir.
And where are you going now?
Still in the security office? I'm still going up to the security office. I'm just like, I just wanted a moment alone. I wanted a moment alone.
Okay.
I want to try and beat him upstairs.
So you're going to rush upstairs?
Try and run upstairs?
Yeah.
Okay. What does the Inquisitor do when he tries to move in front of him?
Oh, no, like, well,
no, I'm taking the elevator.
Oh, you're taking the elevator.
I'm taking the elevator.
You're ordering them
to take
the
I'm telling them to get off the elevator.
Okay, yeah, they're like, oh, well, she's like, okay.
I'm gonna beat him up those stairs.
Is, Chuck, is everything a competition?
Yeah, otherwise, what's the point?
Go ahead, I'll meet you there.
I immediately start running up the
stairs. Roll athletics, difficulty one.
Okay.
Actually, no, this is against an elevator. Yeah. I was just gonna say, this is like difficulty three. This is tough. So, you're beating a Star Wars elevator.
Can I make a plea for agility?
No, this is pure huffing it.
Okay, so
well, I mean, this is your athletic skills. Yeah,
you do have an advantage.
You do have an advantage. You're not winded.
Maybe. Yeah, I show up slightly after the elevator.
Yeah,
like damn it.
So yeah, we have. A while of the Inquisitor alone in the lift.
So the Inquisitor's in the lift. He's, I imagine the data pad is holoprojecting her image, and she's spinning.
Yep.
What's her name?
Her name is Zaireen Kordath.
Could you spell it for me?
Zaireen Kordath, Kordath.
And is her relationship to me what I remember it is? Or what you told me it is?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So I'm just deadpan, staring at the hollow image as it's slowly rotating. Is she older than I thought she was?
She has aged, yeah.
Okay. How does she look? Like, any scars? Anything's changed about her?
Mostly just weathered. Her skin looks a little more seamed, and even for Twi'leks, it's a little impressive. They tend to look pretty young for a while, but she looks like she's been in a harsh environment, if anything. Not so much battle-scarred, but weather-worn.
Alright. The Inquisitor, he's staring at that for a little while, long enough for, like, the audience to know that she's someone important to him. But then after a while, he thumbs it, thumbs away the image, and he starts scrolling through some of the other details in the file, dossier.
Some of the other details in the file on her are that while she has been completely, seemingly inactive for over a decade, since about near the tail end of the Clone Wars, she disappeared from action. You know at least that. And there is no information about the past near decade or two decades, actually, of her activity. What they do know is that she recently appeared on the radar on Fondor, especially because it's a place where they build a lot of Star Destroyers.
Yeah, that's a huge, that's
the
like
third most expansive orbital shipyard in the galaxy.
Yeah, so I'm reading that and I'm like, to myself, I say, Zaireen, what are you planning?
The dossier continues to suspect that she is instructing.
I look at instructing and I see if it elucidates on what that means.
It goes on to explain that she's apparently been sending out feelers for force sensitives.
All right, I'm seeing that, and when I see that, my fist clenches,
To you, you get a feeling of hypocrisy. Especially, I feel like.
Well, it's not not even hypocrisy. The Ninth Brother, it's just anger. Yeah. Like, it's not even sure why he's angry. He's just, he's angry. So he clenches his fist. And, like, he doesn't want to crush the data pad in his hand because he knows it's Make going cool to be relevant information. Cool is, what, willpower?
Yeah. Difficulty 3.
That is a success with a threat.
You don't crush it.
Yeah. I'm not squeezing the datapad. I'm squeezing my other fist.
Oh, your other fist.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't make your hand bleed.
Cool.
with your claws.
And I imagine the door opens as I read that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. You're in the security office.
Is there anyone else there?
Right now there are a few stormtroopers manning it.
Cool. I walk with purpose towards the head of the console, but if I, like, bump into a stormtrooper, like, I might go out of my way to bump into one.
Okay, you do. And, the stormtrooper immediately, like, sees you and moves out of the way. Sorry.
Wait, does he bump into me?
Yeah, accidentally.
I stop and turn to him, and I just glare at him, and I grab him by the throat, and, I'm assuming we're at the top of the tower?
Yes.
I throw him at the nearest window.
Oh my god! Okay.
Yeah, I'm angry. I just need to get it out.
The rest of the stormtrooper,
as soon as he goes through the window, Chuck Finley opens up.
Yeah, you just see, and hear this long, drawn-out scream that eventually just fades before you hear it. You don't even hear it hit the ground. You're too high up. And the rest of the stormtroopers all stop what they're doing and look at you. And then look back away and just, like, look busy.
I just keep walking with a nonchalance after that towards the console, and I'm just staring at it.
Chuck isn't, like, afraid of this, but he's just like, oh, fuck, I gotta deal with this prick. he's not afraid, you know, he's, like, sure he'll be okay and everything like that, knows not to, you know, mess around, but he's like, oh, great, this one's a real asshole.
And as you get back up there, the lift next to the one you came in opens. And your partner's there. I'm not going up the stairs this armor.
And I, while it's going on, I look at the nearest technician. Bring up the security footage of everything that happened.
Yes, Inquisitor. And pulls up a video that shows. You see where they started the surveillance of the break-in, which is in the first eyes they got on them were in the cell block where they had their first encounter with the guards that were in the area, and then showing them letting out the Wookiee and then letting out the rest of the prisoners.
There's a bunch of different screens playing different like camera
playing
footage,
different angles and different rooms, and showing like there's one TV when they go into through the hallway into the one room, and then it flashes on another screen to the room itself that they're entering.
I'm picturing like very like Ozymandias from.
Watchmen.
Yeah, very Ozymandias from Watchmen, and he's staying there. My arms are folded in front of me, staring at it.
Yeah, you see like multiple screens of various scenarios. You also
I walk up and I'm kind of examining it. Wow, these guys, they're pretty good.
Your partner looks over and is like, they look like a bunch of morons.
Yeah, but I feel like that's what they're going for. You know what I mean? You know, they look like competent idiots. Which, in my experience, are some of the most dangerous people.
Is that your strength? Competent idiocy?
Then I just kind of like, bite my tongue a bit.
Yeah, your partner's like...
Yeah.
I don't turn to look at you, but and I just keep my eyes still focused on the camera.
Lord Vader has assigned you two to me personally.
Yes, sir. Has assigned me personally. I've worked with him before. And he thought I would be the best man for this job.
Did he know?
That's what I believe.
The Ninth Brother sort of lowers his eyes, and he's, like, going through his head all these, like, mental calculations of all these cat and mouse games. I'm sure he plays with Vader.
Possibly? Yeah.
Like, is this, like, a burden, or is this a test of some kind? Like, I look at him.
Very well. But I want to warn you. You'll probably die.
Sir, I think that before every mission.
Good. It's a good attitude to have.
Just hear your partner just,
What was that?
Nothing, Inquisitor.
I look over, I'm just like, what? I welcome death every day.
Whatever, Chuck. Fine.
The ninth brother's just like, ugh. So I spend whatever time I can just, like, studying the footage, getting a feel for how Flint Cross, Tumask, Bosch Trebia, and Levo, and also this Wookiee with them now, all behave.
Okay. Oh, wait, I want to do, Chuck finally goes, wait a second, roll that back. And we see Tumask, and he's like, does that guy have, like, three extra fingers on his hand or something?
According to the dossier on him, he has, three extra fingers on each hand.
That's fucking weird.
I know.
An unusual mutation, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, should make finding that guy pretty, pretty easy.
He will certainly stick out in a crowd.
Hey, make a, what would be a good skill for this?
For what?
Warfare?
Oh, reading them. I think that's fun, reading their behavior. I'm curious if the Inquisitor's trying to glean anything specific. Like what, or just information, what weapons they favor.
How they interact with each other. Okay. I listen to what they say in case there's any sort of conflict in the group that I could exploit in the future.
Okay.
I see how
You do catch the Wookiee being very standoffish and seemingly violent a little bit to everyone, especially Tumask. Make a note of that. Especially because you clearly know about, definitely would know about the Wookiee Trandoshan contentions.
Yeah.
One thing you do notice is, I don't believe in any of that time, Bosch used the Force.
He is still untrained. Good. Well, let's make sure he stays that way.
Definitely, yeah, that's definitely of note. And of course you would notice that they are now more than aware of what Project Firestorm is. I'm not sure how much the Inquisitor would know about that project,
though. Yeah, I don't think he knows too much about it.
Yeah. There is footage of them fighting Death Troopers and seeing... the camera footage doesn't show what's going on in the window, but it does show that group looking into the window and then looking horrified and walking away.
Chuck Finley also notes like that they took down a Death Trooper, and he's like kind of impressed and respects these guys a bit.
They came here for that Selkath. Why? Why, of all people? Records say she was no one but a prisoner taken.
Are we sure that's the only thing on the records, if there's not any deeper records?
I mean, you, as Game Master...
Yeah, Serta Nuko, they did not know who she was. She was captured under an alias.
Okay.
Yeah, so they didn't know that she was a scientist who was brought in by the Rebels to see... Like, to, like, try to figure out what Project Firestorm was.
Okay, I thought she was she was undercover, though, wasn't she?
She was, so they don't know who Serta Nuko is. All I know is she's some Selkath, who is seemingly inconsequential.
But they imprisoned her for possibly being a traitor.
No.
Okay.
She was just an alien they were experimenting on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe it's a friend of theirs or something.
Possibly. Run everything you can on her. Find out who this woman is.
Right away, sir.
Why don't you roll, Underworld.
Okay.
Skill. So that's based on intelligence.
Okay, so I roll two.
Yep, roll two green against three purple.
That is a failure and a threat.
Ooh.
You have no idea, and now you're very scared that you have to tell him that.
Yeah. I crunched all the numbers. I looked into it.
Did you actually do that standing there?
No.
You literally thought about if you knew.
Off the top of my head, I got nothing. I could reach out to some people. It'll take some time, though.
Good.
We'll send it That's to the intelligence agents.
Good. That's what I asked you to do.
God, the Night Feather's a dick.
Chuck is a little reactionary.
The Inquisitor just sort of ignores what she says. It's like, fine, I don't care. Okay. I'm the Inquisitor.
I think at this point... Are you ready to begin?
What is this Project Firestorm here? I haven't been briefed on it.
Don't have clearance.
Yeah. That's above my pay grade, sir.
I think the best thing would be to talk to whoever's the head of project here.
Very well. Bring them to me.
Okay.
All right.
We can order stormtroopers around, too.
Yeah.
We have some rank, so...
I find the nearest one. You there. Go bring me whoever's in charge.
Yes, sir. You're essentially a lieutenant.
Right, okay.
You're a special forces lieutenant.
Okay.
So you have some rank. Yeah, and a couple of stormtroopers go and bring Dr. Avris, who is still on
the premises. And I imagine the other death trooper is shadowing Dr. Avris.
Oh, yeah. He's still there.
So Dr. Averis, he's a clean-cut young man in his like early 20s. He's got like brown hair parted on the side, completely clean-shaven. It's kind of handsome in a boyish sort of way. He's wearing a long white tunic that almost has like a leathery sheen that has gloves on the hands. Mm-hmm. And he has black trousers, black boots. Almost chronic looking in terms of outfit, but without the cape. And again, more of the almost like a doctor's tunic.
Scrub.
Yeah. So he walks in. Yes, are you here to make sure that those scoundrels who came in here and nearly killed me get to the bottom or are captured?
Sort of.
Good. Let me introduce myself. I'm Dr. Averis with a special weapons program. And he smiles genially. I mean, his teeth are like white picket fences mm-hmm. that gleam.
Chuck is like just like a little put off by this guy because he's just too perfect.
Yeah.
kind of looking. He's just like, okay. Listen, we're here on orders from the Inquisitor. We need everything you have on Project Firestorm.
Well, yes, I have most of my documents. Unfortunately, they've been taken from me. Well, not taken from me. They've been copied and duplicated. Someone wanted to find out what Project Firestorm was. They came here targeting me. I want an increase in security. You're not the ones to talk to this. I need to talk to Krennic. Fine, take me to whoever this Inquisitor is.
Much appreciated. Right. Thank you.
All right, so he walks in a huff, following you. He looks frazzled. Maybe a single hair is out of place.
Do you want to say anything more to him? Some direction?
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of like level with him. Hey, listen, be real careful what you say around this guy.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, no, don't.
Do you know who I am?
Oh, you're going to get thrown out a window.
I'm Dr. Averis with a special weapons program.
Oh, you might get thrown out the window.
Wait, what do you mean thrown out a window?
Oh, yeah, you missed that. I ran up the stairs. Yeah, first thing that guy did was just pick somebody up and throw him out a window. He just bumped into him.
Oh, I regret taking this op.
Hey, also, this stays between the four of us. No such thing, I said. But, no, but, like, I think the Inquisitor bumped into that guy on purpose. I think he went out of his way to bump into that guy.
I don't doubt it. It's just a van and they're brutal creatures.
Oh, aliens. Well, hopefully when my project's done, that'll be a concern of the past.
I kind of look over to my partner and just, okay.
So you walk him, I assume, from the remnants of his lab mm-hmm. to
see, like, the remnants of the lab. It's pretty cleaned up, but there's still, like, a broken beaker here and there and some equipment that's been blasted.
As we get into the elevator, right before I hit the up button and the elevator door closes, I look up to the death trooper and I go, "Didn't there used to be two of you?" And just kind of smirk to myself.
As the doors close.
Wait, so you don't go up with him?
No, no, I do. No, but yes. Just as the door's closing, I go, "Hey, didn't there used to be two of you?"
Yeah, and that's our little button.
Like, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's Mike's.
Yeah, we have a wipe from either side into the elevator door or the lift door closing. And they return with Dr. Averis in tow.
You must be the head of this Project Firestorm.
Have fun, Jake.
He's gonna talk to himself now.
So the doctor walks on up, and he's sort of looking put upon. Let me see if he's intimidated by this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Dr. Averis walks off the elevator in a huff, and he sees the Inquisitor, and he's just like, his back stiffens and the color drains from his already pale face. Oh, well, you must be the Inquisitor. Well, and he walks up to the Inquisitor trying to, like, project as much self-importance as possible. Excuse me, but I need to know that these individuals are not going to target me again, and they will make sure the integrity of Project Firestorm is kept.
And what is Project Firestorm?
Project Firestorm is my pride and joy. Now, Director Krennic seems to be very invested in his project currently, his Project Stardust. Now, the top brass really are interested in that, but let's just say, unfortunately, one of the main problems with that, and the Inquisitor is just sort of like tapping his finger against like the back of his hand. Yeah.
I look over to my partner and I'm just like motioning towards the window. I'm just like,
your partner goes like, "How many credits you want to put on left window? I'll bet on right."
Oh, okay. 50 credits.
All right, fine.
So my project is to prevent the destruction of otherwise useful industry and useful structures like bases. It's a chemical weapon, but it's a chemical weapon designed to target indiscriminately based on other species. Any species, hopefully there's still, we're still working out the kinks on it, but other alien species that don't target humans will be the target of it and they'll be killed. We could be able to put down entire planets with it, hopefully, and be able to save the infrastructure in it. Take Kashyyyk, for instance. We'd have to burn Kashyyyk to the ground if the Wookiees put up a solid rebellion. We'd have to Delta Base Zero them, and we'd lose whatever infrastructure they had. We release this chemical weapon, he snaps his fingers. There goes all of the Wookiees, and we keep all of the infrastructure that we could supply with other labor. I think it's going to be the future of this empire. It's going to keep the strength and integrity of this empire strong. So, whoever these people are, they know what it is. They know the threat it poses to them, these CD elements, and I want to make sure that it is protected. And are you going to be the individual responsible for that? Because, so help me, I will talk to Director Krennic. The Inquisitor just sort of looks at him and leans in and starts gently poking at his rank tag with his claw while he's talking. And just like gently plugging on, like, you know, looking for whatever dirt maybe he's brushing off his shoulder.
Project Firestorm's going to kill aliens, yes?
Yes, any non-humans.
Like a Shistavanin.
I mean, it's possible we'd be able to tailor it to target Shistavanins.
Really, no?
Yes.
Huh.
The Inquisitor walks past. And Dr. Averis fucking just shrinks. He just, like, shrinks into himself.
These individuals, working with Bosch Trebia, are working with some larger group. I will make them a priority, but first I have another task I have to deal with, courtesy of Lord Vader himself.
You and your partner watches all the other stormtroopers, like, don't turn around. But they all, like, kind of just, like,
Chuck
kind of... Two of them look at each other, like...
Chuck puts a smile on his face, because he likes when people freak out when they hear Vader's name. Because, like, he's worked with him before, you know, he knows a little bit more about
him. He's worked with him one time.
Yeah.
And it was on, like, something, like, a diplomatic mission.
Oh, yeah. But
he likes to say, like...
But, like,
oh,
he
yeah,
gave him, like...
really closely together.
Yeah. The closest Vader has ever come to giving someone a thumbs up. Kind of the equivalent of that.
Sure, he had, Chuck, a moment.
Yeah.
And he's held onto that really hard.
I want to hear that story eventually.
Amen. We'll see if
Chuck Adventures Finley of Chuck lives. Finley?
We'll see if Chuck Finley lives and his so far unrevealed partner, who I do have a name for.
The Inquisitor looks at everyone and says,
I want every bit of information about the attack on this base sent to me directly.
A bunch of stormtroopers say, yes, sir.
Okay, sir.
For now, I have a task I have to take care of. You two.
And he points to Chuck and, what's her name?
Does the Inquisitor ask?
No.
He hasn't asked.
You and you, he points.
There we go, that's better.
With me on my shuttle, we're going to return to the Defiler. Next up, Fondor.
Yes, sir, right away.
Right away.
And we wipe away into the interior of the Defiler. What is the interior of the Defiler as we enter into it? Where does he take everyone as you depart?
It is a... just a crisp Star Destroyer like any other one.
Mm-hmm.
We get on the Lambda shuttle, we fly up, land on the shuttle, or land on the Star Destroyer.
You took your shuttle down.
Yep.
Yeah, so we see the Lambda shuttle to take off into the atmosphere and slowly make its way into the port, into the Star Destroyer of the Defiler.
I make my way to the bridge, and I assume everyone comes with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're shadowing you.
And I say to the captain of the Defiler, whom we haven't established yet, I walk on board. I assume Lieutenant Kati is also there to, like, greet me the second I land.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Inquisitor, welcome back.
I don't say anything. I just keep walking.
He's used to it.
Yeah.
He starts following you as you enter and starts reading off just things that are... there's a few things that need requisitioning for maintenance on the ship. And he just hands you a data pad. Like, just sign here and here, sir, please.
The Inquisitor looks at it, and I wave it away.
Very well, sir. He just puts a big X.
Yeah.
Like, he knows all your things, but he's all about protocol.
So I make my way to the bridge and, of course, stand imposingly at the window.
Underlit from the platform.
Underlit. and also, I guess, silhouetted by the planet.
Yeah.
The lighting is spectacular.
Yeah, right on now. Every Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
We've established
this. I make a gesture to my partner. I'm like, you ever realize that, like, lighting here is just... Everyone does this. Everyone does that.
It's standard
scenic
issue.
Look. I know, but, like, it's so well thought out.
Sure, I mean, yeah. And the Empire has some great interior designers.
Yeah. And I just kind of look around.
So I also want to establish that the me being silhouetted by the planet, that's right when that storm was coming. So there's the planet as far as we can see. Just a roiling storm. Definitely not a metaphor for the Inquisitor.
Nope. And you command your Star Destroyer to...
Set course for Fondor!
And they hit light speed and go off. And eventually, it doesn't take too long. Fondor's in the... It's actually not in the Outer Rim.
Yeah,
it's within the... It's within the Lawed Galaxy. And on your journey, what are you doing? I'm just curious. How does the Inquisitor pass the time for a journey?
Can we say, like we jump to hyperspace?
Intimate moment. Yeah, we jump to hyperspace.
Do the wipe. And then I want to cut to a scene of me sitting in a conference room near my quarters with the two individuals Vader has assigned to me. So I'm sort of sitting there in a chair, sort of leaned back, fingers crossed, and twiddling my thumbs while I am, I'm assuming, mid-conversation with these two.
Yeah, all my gear is, like, stripped and everything. Like, before a mission, I am all business. So I'm putting, you know, everything together, making sure everything's squeaky clean.
So maybe, like, cleaning your blaster.
Yeah, cleaning my blaster, you know, making sure my armor or whatever, everything is just good to go.
Yeah, your partner is actually not in her armor for the journey. She's taking it off. And she's an average height human woman, dark hair cropped to around her shoulders, keep it in the helmet, and, she's just wearing a basic officer's uniform.
Okay. So I'm sitting there, sort of twiddling my thumbs, occasionally stopping and tapping them. And I'm partially staring out the conference center window into hyperspace. Mm-hmm. Sort of like leaning back.
Streets pass by.
Yeah.
Tell me more of why Lord Vader has assigned the two of you to me.
I look at my partner.
All he said was that we're assigned to give you any aid you require.
And to report back to him everything you see?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Have you ever encountered a Jedi before?
No, I haven't.
You know, I ran into a couple during the Clone Wars.
Did you now?
Yeah, I was a young man then. I didn't really talk to any of them or get to know any of them or really see any Jedi stuff, which, you know, is all BS, I guess, or whatever.
What was your estimation of the Jedi?
To be honest, I just didn't care. I was trying to live my own life. I didn't pay them any mind. They were just there. They'd always been there. And they were what they were.
You served in the Clone Wars in some capacity?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, I spent some time, in defense forces.
One of the regional defense forces that were subsumed by the galactic military.
Yes.
Plenty of them. So you got to see some Jedi. But you've never encountered one yourself. And you haven't been allowed access to the Jedi, what remains of the Jedi archives, to see any more about the Saeren Kordath?
I'm sure if I really wanted to, I could probably pull some strings and get into that, but to be honest, I've never cared much.
You've never cared about the target you're going after right now.
Hey, listen, I get a name, I get my profile on it, and I do my job, you know?
The Inquisitor sort of gives you a side-eye look.
The woman speaks up and says, Saeren Kordath, originally a Jedi, fought in the Clone Wars, left towards the end, said to have hated the fighting and gone peacekeeping in the Outer Rim.
She took a vow of pacifism.
Doesn't seem like that's holding up any much. Anymore.
According to this, she hasn't necessarily made any moves. But I wouldn't be surprised if she's looking to train someone who will also pose a threat. But even so, a non-violent Jedi can be a threat.
The thing that bothers me is, after all this time, why sudden movements now?
And why Fondor? I mean, I know why Fondor, but...
It's near the heart of Imperial space.
Yeah, it's suicide.
Is it now? Jedi are capable of many things. I saw what they can do in the Clone Wars.
You think one can... live on some sort of industrial world and not be noticed?
Of course! They can do that easily. They can blend into a crowd. Many people talk of Jedi warriors and their power and what they can do. Moving rocks, throwing lightsabers, deflecting blaster bolts back at the attackers, murdering whole platoons of troops. But the real power of the Jedi, at least according to them, laid in their ability...
And he sort of taps his fingers. And he's thinking deeply.
Never mind. They're more of a threat than you think. Even if they're not an outright one, is what I will say.
Well, if the Empire thinks they're a threat, I think they're a threat. I'm, you know, I just don't know much about them or anything. That's what I leave up to, and I point at my partner.
Danica.
Danica? What's your last name?
Danica Frode.
Frode?
Frode. F-R-O-D-E.
And you know much about her. Was she a Jedi Knight or an apprentice?
I ask. And I know the answer to it. I'm just having fun.
I only know that she was an apprentice. I don't have much more information on her than the file we were given.
Perhaps her master is still out there. Do you know whom he is?
Information wasn't available.
Nope. I should hope not.
Who was her master?
Is it pertinent?
I was her master.
I kind of just look over at Danica and I just go back to cleaning my gun.
Danica reaches over behind her. There is a small table with some drinks on it. She takes like a glass and just a decanter of with some amber liquid and pours it and just shakily drinks.
And so I look at them. So I understand. You'll be reporting everything you see back to Lord Vader. Know that there is no conflict in me. I will find Zareen Kordath and I will kill her without hesitation.
All right. Yeah, that sounds okay. Sounds good to me.
Yes, sir. That sounds fine.
Wonderful. We're agreed.
Yes. Yeah.
I stand up and I just leave and I head back to my quarters.
Ooh, that got tense there at the end, huh?
We're not going home, Chuck. We're not going home, are we?
He might try and kill us. He very well make. Should we set up some sort of a report to Vader in case we die?
I mean, they'll know. They'll know if we die.
Yeah, they'll know if we die, but, like, we should tell Vader that this guy's probably gonna murder us.
Sure, is the question is Lord Vader gonna care?
I like to
you
think so.
You said he threw a guy out a window!
I like to think so. He'd care about us.
He's known us for 2 hours.
Those were a crazy 2 hours, if you remember.
Yeah, I'm sure they were the best 2 hours of his life, Chuck.
Best 2 hours of mine.
Oh, man.
Spiral wipe from in between Chuck and Danica. Spiral wipes are fun. Let me have my fun, Jake.
This is your Star War,
this
after
is my
all.
Star War.
I'm going to use all the crazy wipes I
all
want.
All the wipes I want.
You gonna star wipe it?
We've star wiped. You've star wiped.
Have I star wiped?
You're totally star wiped.
I'm a monster.
We've jokingly star wiped.
Oh, boy.
Sure.
Pretty sure.
Jokingly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Roll One. If you enjoyed listening, please rate us on iTunes and, most importantly, tell your friends about us. Also, follow us on Facebook or on Twitter at Roll One Podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, shoot us an email at roll1podcast@gmail.com. The Ninth Brother is played by Jake Lucas, who also produces Roll One, and can be found on Twitter at Jake A. Lucas, or on stage with his sketch team Candy Ass at the People's Improv Theater. Chuck Finley is played by Liam O'Reilly. You can find Liam on Mysteries McCree, a new actual play podcast debuting in late February or early March. It's an old-school detective noir-styled game set in a D&D world about a pair of brother and sister detectives. This episode of Roll One is game-mastered by Tom Wilson, who can be found on Instagram with the name IMTDubs. The Star Wars, Edge of the Empire, Age of Rebellion, and Force and Destiny role-playing games belong to Lucas Books and Fantasy Flight Games. All music is by Nerd Salad, who can be found on Facebook or on Twitter at Nerd Salad. Stay tuned for the next thrilling episode of Roll One. Until then, I will find you.